You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back, everybody. Whew! It's Friday. It's 5 o'clock. I hope you're clocking out. Jim is sticking around for this second hour. I'm so thankful. His name is Jim Santel. You've heard him all over these fine airwaves and hopefully during his special Saturday show, Amicus, a law review from 9 to 11 on this very network. If you're just tuning in, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-752-4842. We got lots of stuff to talk about this afternoon, but a bit of breaking news. New reporting in from Wisconsin Public Radio. Tony Weed has done basically nothing since being elected to Congress, but today he decided to do something that is unquestionably unconstitutional. He has introduced legislation that would strip funding from states and local governments that the U.S. Department of Justice deem to be, quote, anarchist jurisdictions. Way to go, Weed. Ah, that's our taxpayer dollars. Hard at work. The bill dubbed the, quote, Stop Anarchists from Endangering Cities Act, end quote, would codify blah, 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 blah. Who cares? Jim, I'm having a hard time. Aren't these the same people that supported the pardons of January 6th insurrectionists that beat the heck out of cops? Is this the same group of MAGAs?
It seems to be. It seems exactly to be. Right, right? And the inconsistency is beyond glaring. It is stunning. It's shocking. I run out of adjectives, as I often do. And then we have this other issue. Of course, again, this legislation for anarchist jurisdictions. Okay, we can kind of figure out what jurisdictions means. But as we were talking before, a judge who just yesterday figuring out what a rebellion is. Okay, let's talk about anarchy now. Let's try to define that as well and put that in legislation that can be enforced in some way, right?
Yes, unconstitutional. I'll give Weed a little starter primer on anarchy. Hey, Tony, anarchy is what happens when there's no organized government, or when a group of people who are legitimately concerned about their economic futures get manipulated by humanity's most basic instincts, to wit, racism, whipped up into a frenzy and then stop a functioning democracy from working. Tony, that's anarchy, with all due respect. And it's actually the MAGA regime that is creating anarchy, led by the orange man in chief, every day in this country. Ironic, hypocritical, disgusting, downright childish, unconstitutional, anti-democratic, anti-free speech. I could go on. But I want to.
Let me add another adjective. And can I also talk about cynicism, right?
Yes.
It is so cynical in the sense that we're going to put this legislation out there. It's sending these whistles once again to people who say, oh my gosh, we can't have anarchy in America. We don't. That's not out there. But it presumes that people are stupid. That's the cynical part of this. In addition to all the other things that you just said, it presumes that the very constituents who put him in office are dumb and stupid and cannot see through this as the false whistle that it is. It's like, just
What do you all think about any elected official from either party that engages in what I'm going to call, it's a term I've used for a long time, performative politics. Mm-hmm. And all politics has an element of theater to it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about doing something simply to get your name in the papers, simply to get people talking. That's definition one for performative politics under the Maggie Dawn Show. Definition number two is the use of leverage or power simply because you have it, i.e. what the kiddies call flexing. This is so ridiculous. Shame on you, Tony Weed. Great hair. You got some great hair. Cannot deny that. But man, and I'm going to come up with a new word, Jim, to describe some of what's been going on. Do not be suckerized. The suckerization of voters, of Americans. And what do I mean by that? Is they are running a con, right? This is a con.
Right.
But pay attention to the claims about anarchy and socialism and all this stuff and, it's woke, is all this nonsense. Do not pay attention to the fact that the single largest redistribution of wealth in American history is about to happen in the big brutal bill, from the bottom 90% to the top 1%, and even more wealth going to the 0.1%. It is an obscenity, and that's what's going on. This is why the No Kings protest to me is so important. It speaks to a whole gamut of these issues, such as billionaire tax breaks, mega corporation tax breaks, and really screwing the working man and woman. It's sad.
Stripping out Medicaid, for example, among most vulnerable populations out there. And regrettably, these populations also do not have a voice, right?
Yes.
Because of where they are economically, we need not only to support them. Again, cynicism of the highest level to suggest that somehow those people are not real human beings and therefore they're not entitled to health care. We should not be concerned about them. And instead, yes, look at the shiny objects going on right now in, oh, say, Los Angeles, where, yes, we've got a few fires and some sticks and stones being thrown around. That's the real concern that you should be have your hair on fire about. That's the outrage.
The lying. Weed lies. We've got a texter from WGBW texting, and I can't even get a hold of Weed, and anytime I have, he just lies to me and said there's no cuts to Medicaid. There are. You're on Badger Care in Wisconsin. You're on Family Care. You will have benefits cut. I promise you that. DVO, liar. The lying that occurs is just, it's terrible. How about this? You're caught in too many big old fatty lies. You don't get to run for Congress again. How about there that as a new rule? We got Jack from Merrimack on the line. Jack, say hi to Jim. What you got for us?
Oh, where do I start?
It's a lot, Jack, right? It's a lot. We often say that. It's a lot. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's where half the newscasts that put these Republicans on should start out by saying, what you're about to hear is a lie. Go ahead, Senator. Go ahead, Congressman.
Basically, all of them, all of the time. It just needs to come with a constantly running Chiron on the bottom that's like, this is a bunch of garbage and has no relationship to what's happening here on Earth One.
Yes.
And I do have
a question for Maggie the economist.
Yes, sir.
I have read that if a graduated tax were put on wealth, starting at 2% at $30 million and graduating up to 5% at $1 billion+, that amount of money would be sufficient to raise a total of $2 trillion every year.
Every year.
Which, of course, would not only, it would wipe out the deficit totally, and it would do a pretty good job of bringing down the debt. People need to realize that for those rich people, there is no such thing as enough. And it's about time somebody says, oh, yeah, there is.
I love all that, Jack. Clip it, put it out. I can just hang up my headphones because Jack's got the ticket right there.
Masterclass in economics, right?
Absolutely, Jack. There is a fair tax system where the ultra wealthy folks with generational wealth. Jim, I've never been able to get over this. Everybody work. Work is dignity, bootstrap, blah, 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 blah. Oh, except if you have obscenely wealthy parents, in which case you're entitled to sit on your rump your entire life, do absolutely nothing, and let the generational wealth roll in. The affirmative action of generational wealth was, to me, the best line of the Democratic National Convention, said by Michelle Obama. This is not hard. We can do all of the things to make our communities healthier if the mega rich and the mega corporations simply paid their fair share.
Absolutely. And again, the conversation here with Jack and others, it is not that difficult, right? Again, I'm not the economist that you and Jack are, Maggie. On the other hand, these things are accessible, right? You can put them on a chart, a brochure, and show a little bit of percentages, show some bar graphs, those kinds of things. We know what works. We know what doesn't work. Communication and education out there and getting it again, maybe not to those folks in the Congress who are not interested in that kind of information, but to people who vote and people who show up at town hall meetings to say, Senator, Congressman, this matters. And I'm going to, as Jack just said, I'm going to ask you about this particular application. Give me a response. Tell me why I'm wrong about that.
Well, they just lie and change the subject. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Speaking of screwing the middle class, Donald Trump proudly announcing today that he's going to make your appliances, the things that you rely on because you don't hire people to do your household chores, basically all of your household appliances, going to be about 50% more expensive thanks to Donald Trump. So if you were planning on doing a kitchen remodel, bathroom remodel, you know, because, again, we don't hire people to do these things. We actually wash our own dishes and clothes. Yeah, you might want to do that sooner rather than later. Yep, the tariffs are going to be expanded. Washing machines, refrigerators, and common household appliances made with steel parts will soon be subject to expanded tariffs. The Commerce Department, led by the man who has no grasp of economics whatsoever, Howard Lutnick, said Thursday the department said in a notice that levies would take effect on June 23rd. You got 10 days. To get your appliances.
Get that washer, dryer you've been waiting for. Get the refrigerator, the microwave, the dishwasher, all those things right now. And again,
all of that, Jim, is going to make new housing starts less expensive. No, it's not. In addition to the already increased steel tariffs, this is just stupid. They have their hands in the pockets of the middle class. Do not be suckerized. Right. Do not be the sucker here, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Folks, we got a special edition of Ask Maggie coming up at 5:30. Jim's going to join me for that. You get to ask me and Jim questions. Can you believe it? Get those in. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can ask Jim and I basically anything. And Jim, here's the trick. We get put on a timer because you are like to talk.
Right. Ooh.
Dave from New Berlin, he says on the text line that he's working on a question for us. I love it, Dave. Ollie from the North Woods, we got about 30 seconds. Say hi to Jim. What you got for us?
Hi. Well, I think I might have an answer to the lying problem. Pam Bondi wants to put all the government workers on a lie detector. How about if we just put all the senators and congressmen on lie detectors?
How about we start with Pam Bondi, shall we? The problem with that, of course, Ollie, is that if you have no soul and lying doesn't raise your heartbeat at all, it might be a little easy to beat those lie detectors.
You'll
Don't go anywhere.
It.
We got to Ask Maggie and Ask Jim. Coming up next, get your questions in, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. That's Jim Santel, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Maybe you heard a little banter there, a little crosstalk with James Santel and I. He's sticking around, a little Friday special surprise for everybody. James Santel, of course, former U.S. attorney. He's going to be appearing at one of the No Kings protests that are occurring across the state. My last count at like plus 60-ish, which is fabulous. Jim's going to be down at Cathedral Square addressing protesters there. You're not going to want to miss Jim. And a special shout out, I have to say, to my parents, Mike and Shirley, their friends Ellen and Andy, Mary Jo and Arlie. They got a whole posse of, and no offense, parents and friends, oldsters, the retiree set, going down to Cathedral Square with their signs and banners. I love it. If my 80-plus-year-old parents can do it, so can you. And the reason that we need to do that is because dippy-doos in D.C. by the White House been spotted holding up Trump for King and Keep America Trump. Mm. Ugh. Mm. is it's just gross. It's just gross. Also, I wanted to share with you all, we are going to post in today's show notes, and you can find those if you look up my podcast on Apple Pods, Spotify, or, of course, on the Civic Media website. We're going to put a thing from the ACLU on in our show notes. Know your protest rights. And I just wanted to go through them very quickly. You do not need a permit to protest in response to breaking news, and you don't need a permit to march in the streets or along sidewalks, as long as you're not obstructing traffic or access to buildings. When you are lawfully present in any public space, you have the right to photograph anything in plain view, including federal buildings and police. Again, in a public space. If you believe your rights have been violated, write down everything that you remember, try to record it, get contact information for witnesses, take photographs of injuries. If you get stopped by the police, ask if you're free to go. I had a business card back in law school that opened up, Jim, and it had this thing called the invocation of rights.
Yes.
You know, officer, if I am free to go, I ask that you inform me that I am and I would wish to leave. In other words, they have to actually come up with a reason to stop you, right, which puts you into different legal territory. Again, ask if you're free to go.
It's called justice in America, right?
That's
right.
Fundamental
law
enforcement. If you get arrested, you have a right to ask why. Otherwise, say you wish to remain silent and ask for a lawyer immediately. Do not sign anything without a lawyer present, okay? If you get arrested, ask why. Then remain silent, ask for a lawyer. Don't sign anything without a lawyer present. If you get stopped by a member of the military or any law enforcement officer at a protest, you have the right to remain silent. Again, tell them that you'll only answer questions in the presence of an attorney. Any other good tips? I never was a criminal prosecutor, Jim. Mm-hmm. You did that work. Other good tips for peaceful protesters that want to remain lawful but exercise their rights.
All right, absolutely. And as you recite those good touchstones, Maggie, all of them are premised upon common sense, right? You do have these basic principles in America that say, yes, indeed, it's called the Constitution, it's the First Amendment. I can go out there, and yes, there are limitations on time and place. But again, during the course of the day in public arenas, you have that capacity to do it. And so many of those things, again, not all of them, but many of them are reflections of common sense. Beyond that, you do have a right. And it frankly, it's in some of these recent decisions by many of these courts of appeals judges who are addressing things, including these orders coming out from the various colleges and universities, talking about the First Amendment. The fundamental notion is you can speak things that are unpopular, right? I suspect tomorrow there are an awful lot of people speaking things that are very popular, at least among the congregated groups, but you don't have to limit your views to those that are consistent with what the entire nation believes. You've got that right to speak on behalf of your own views and perspectives. That's a fundamental right, too. And again, the fundamental notion here is just because it may be offensive to some people does not mean that you cannot say it. Just because it is a matter for disagreement doesn't mean that you're going to get arrested for it. Those fundamental principles were James Madison talked about almost 250 years ago. You keep that in mind tomorrow and for the rest of your lives, candidly, when it comes to being out there in the public domain.
So this is a tangent for another day, Jim, but we're going to put a marker down for you and I to definitely discuss conditions of confinement, our incarceration system here in the United States. We also should talk about this case that came across my desk when I was a clerk for Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals Judge Michael Caney. Indiana, this case came out of Indiana where a guy that had been convicted for sexual abuse or assault. And he was required to go to these group therapy sessions. And in the group therapy sessions, they address triggers for folks mm-hmm. that have a pattern sure. of these kinds of assaults and delinquencies. And he talked about having urges, and then they revoked his parole and probation. Mm-hmm. And the question was, can you criminalize thoughts, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was fascinating. Right. In short, no, we don't criminalize thoughts. We don't criminalize people for disagreeing with the government. If you're going out to protest in the No Kings movement, millions of people, and God is going to open up hopefully a bunch of thunderstorms in Washington, D.C. for dear leaders, display of military grandiosity to the tune of now estimates topping 100 million. Please know your rights. Be peaceful. Obey the directives of law enforcement. And most of all, enjoy being in community with one another and those that believe that we deserve better than what we've got. We come back, we're going to have a special edition of Ask Maggie and Jim Santel here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Get your questions in, 855-752-4842. Everything's game. We'll be back with more after these brief messages. Welcome back, everybody. Happy Friday. We made it through another brutal week of news. We haven't mentioned, but it deserves mention, of course, Israel launching quite a sustained attack, effective attack, targeted attack against Iran. Having two of the world's major superpowers teeing off against one another is something to watch, and we will be watching that as the days unfold here. I basically wanted to make note of that simply because it is the news of the world, as well as, of course, the tragic plane crash in India killing over 240 people. So I would have been remiss.
Yes, one survivor, right?
Talk about the therapy you'd need if you're the sole survivor or something like that. My goodness. But we do like to give ourselves a little relief. We talk about all sorts of things. It may be politics. It may be, have I ever had a wacky-do hairstyle? And the answer to that is, of course,
cooking,
yes.
Right?
Of
Let's course. Do some cooking questions, right?
Yes, of
and I'm
going to
fail
goes.
On all those, Maggie. I'm going to fail miserably. I can do cereal and toast on a good day.
You can just point at me, Jim, and it'll be like phone a friend. Like, go, Maggie. And we are joined by my senior producer, Jamie Martinson, who curates all of the Ask Maggie. And now today, Ask Maggie and Jim questions. Welcome back, Jamie. Nice to have you.
Well, thank you. Happy Friday, by the way.
Thank you.
Gorgeous weather. It's Friday. I mean, Father's Day weekend. What more could we ask for? Well, people to stop, in all the shenanigans.
Yeah, no kings.
We are.
No kings would be good. Yeah, that would be good.
Can I tell you the most random thing? This might make everybody's day a little bit better.
We like random.
This is totally random, totally not within any realm of any subject we have talked about. I'm kind of like a postal worker walking the dog every day, right? Like rain, shine, hail, snow, whatever.
Yes.
So I'm out today and she decides she's going to chase after every bunny and every squirrel. But here's where it gets interesting. For the first time ever, I saw a partial albino squirrel. Now, when I say partial, because his body was completely white, he had the really red eyes, but his tail was like that reddish orange color. Mm. It was really crazy. I'd never seen anything like that. Now, I have to tell you, I don't love squirrels. I think they're nature's menace, and they go running, and they terrify me.
All right, this Jamie, we're gonna flip the tables here. Which do you dislike more? And then I want to hear from Jim, too. A squirrel or a seagull? Because I call seagulls sky rats, because when I parked at Milwaukee County's courthouse, my car would just get absolutely... Mm-hmm.
Drenched.
Yes.
So to
speak. We'll leave it at that. All right. Squirrels or seagulls, which one's worse?
I'm terrified of birds. Any bird, any whatsoever.
Okay.
Don't like them. I don't come near me. There's a lot of tales of woe that my husband can share about how my family has like tricked me with the birds, throwing crumbs in the air, letting them fly at me. I scream like I'm a 4-year-old child. Why? Scared birds. So the squirrel, I can handle. Birds,
you can handle
not
the squirrel.
Much.
Okay. What about you, Jim? Which one do you?
It's almost an Alfred Hitchcock thing, Jamie, then, right? It's all those birds sitting on the park benches.
That's what I envisioned.
Yeah,
two robins,
okay.
I envision that.
Yes. Did not mean to conjure up that ugly image. Okay. I have a question for you, actually, and I'll get back to Maggie's good question. Your dog, your wonderful dog, how does your dog respond to squirrels? Was the dog also scared by the albino squirrel today? Or was this...
She loves anything that moves.
Okay.
In fact, Maggie once in a while gets texts from me while I'm trying to text her and walk.
Okay.
It don't make any sense because she's a leash puller too. So She loves anything that moves really quickly. Gophers, bunnies, squirrels. She's on it. She's got it. She's right there.
All right. Yeah. Well, Jamie, now you've opened up the answer that I'm going to give to this series of questions.
Okay.
Because mine is about gophers. And right now I am at war with a small W and been for years. I have a brick patio behind my home. And consistently, I love small animals, but they burrow into the flower beds just adjacent to my patio, and the bricks collapse by virtue of the tunnels that they burrow every single year. I have to get out there and redo my bricks, and I go to the hardware store and ask, how can I get this family or families, these generations of gophers, out from under my patio? And I've tried various things. The answer is they're going to survive me. You're going to long survive me in the house,
so you know,
and my bricks collapse.
You both have invoked two classic films, of course, Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. And now, Jim, I will have an image seared in my face of your face superimposed in the Bill Murray character in Caddyshack. Gophers.
Absolutely.
The gophers.
Yep. And I see them. I see them scramble around, and I actually... A human being, one sentient being to another, I yell at them. I'm sure that they're taken aback by that when that happens. But stop doing this to my patio. Move over there. That's all you need to do. They don't follow what I say. They're not following my direction here.
You're telling me that there's an English, there's a translation problem with the burrowing gophers in Jim Santel's backyard.
Apparently so.
We got somebody on the line that I haven't heard from in a while, so let's bring them on, see what they got. Hey, Len from Madison, how are you? Say hi to Jim and Jamie. What you got for us?
Hey, Len.
Hi, Jim and Jamie. I hope you're doing well.
Great.
Been out of town. I'm back. And I got to tell you, I got an Uncle Terry. Huge MAGA guy. I get in arguments with him all the time, and I'm having some trouble. I'm going to be out protesting, and I wanted your advice on protesting, because he's throwing this stuff in my face for the last few months about how the border's secure and prices are coming down, and inflation is the lowest it's been in 4 years since like January 2021, and the military recruitment up, and all these things. I got no response to him, so I just feel like I've got no choice but to go out and protest. But I've done this before, and I want to know what you would do in my situation. Protests always start out reasonable, but by the end of the night, things get a little crazy. Maybe there's some hijinks going on after dark and, you know, what people would quote-unquote call crimes. If you see something like that, what do you do? Do you report that?
That's a good question.
Do you snitch on people? Do you just try to not stay late? Do you turn the other cheek or just ignore? What do you recommend when things turn bad at the end of the night of a protest and take a nasty turn? Because the one thing Fetterman's got going for him is we do lose the high ground when arson and rioting and looting and things like that happen.
Right. Yeah.
When we talk about that. So what does Maggie do? What does Jim recommend for that?
That's a great question, Len. Thanks so much, Len, calling us. Let's see, from the 608, he's in Madison. Thanks so much, Len, and please be safe out there this weekend. So I have a number of thoughts. First of all, go home before it gets dark.
Yes.
Protesting is most effective in the daylight. It is not effective after dark, in my opinion. Or
can't
as
see the signs
effective.
Well, among other things, right?
Correct.
Right?
It is protests in their most, I think, meaningful and potentially impactful form are based on numerosity, like the number of people out there, right? Not the intensity of any one single individual's beliefs. And so protests, again, if we're trying to genuinely be impactful, again, is best done in the daylight when you can see the numerosity of the people. That's the point. So go home before it gets dark. Secondly, you see someone doing something illegal. My personal advice is please take care of your personal safety. Exit the area, move away from that person. If you are more of the Maggie Dawn ilk, you might perhaps in joining with other numbers of people, chastise that person directly. Stop doing that. Try to convince them that this is not the way to proceed. Protest, to be impactful, must be peaceful. It simply won't work. We will not get the result that we seek if we engage in illegality or if we tolerate it amongst our protester ranks. That's my two cents. Jim,
absolutely.
Your thoughts?
We have talked a lot on this broadcast this afternoon also about the images of America, right? And the things that are misrepresented and represented. A lot of it, regrettably, is misrepresented. It does indeed undermine the overall message. When there is violence, when there's criminal activity, I could not endorse what Maggie has said more. It is about personal safety. And to the extent, yes, that there is law enforcement in the area, you're not snitching. You're not snitching by saying, you know what? I am concerned about the safety of my fellow women and men and children who are there. I want to make certain that this, whatever is happening, whatever you're seeing, is, to the extent we can, prevented or stopped early on so there is not violence and that people are safe and secure. Nothing wrong with approaching, if you can, a police officer and saying, I just saw something. I'm concerned about it escalating, perhaps. I'm not quite certain what I saw. And then, yes, indeed, to the extent that there can be a community response, as Maggie just said, That has an impact, right? And it also sends a wonderful message. It's not just about superficial messaging, but a wonderful message to those who are taking account of this. This is the quality of the people who are advocating for these issues. They do not want violence. And when this began to percolate up, what did they do on the 6 o'clock news, on the 10 o'clock news? They intervened to make certain that what Donald Trump calls a rebellion is not, in fact, that, not even close. And these are peaceable people who want a better America. The messaging, even of ensuring that, is all important.
Don't be suckerized, right? Like, right. Again, don't give Donald Trump what he wants, which is a distraction from the big brutal bill and the robbery of working people in the middle class to benefit the ultra wealthy. It's the reverse Robin Hood bill. It's the murder bill. Mm-hmm. Like, let's keep our eyes on that. That is ultimately what No Kings is about. We want to see system-wide reform. We want to see immigration reform. Guess how we're going to do that? By getting people activated about the robbery, about the suckerization of America, and getting people to see the con. That's how we're going to have actual immigration reform, which, again, has been proposed by Democrats no less than, I think, the last review I did of this. And I'm, of course, can't find the piece of paper where I went through all the different legislation proposed by Dems, has been proposed somewhere north of like 8 or 9 times since Clinton. And Republicans, the MAGAs, were always the one that voted it down because it wasn't quite racist enough. That is what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm getting my... getting my lather up here.
Hair's on fire again. Hair's on fire.
All right, Jamie.
It is patted down. Are you good now?
It is. I've patted down. All right. The smoke. It's just smoking now.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now it's interesting that we're talking about this because Trump over on, you know, Truth Social or whatever we're calling it these days actually said just this afternoon in a post that the appeals court ruled last night that I can use the National Guard to keep our cities, in this case, Los Angeles, safe. If I didn't send the military into Los Angeles, that city would be burning to the ground right now. We saved LA. Thank you for the decision.
And that's
now,
also not what the Ninth Circuit
exactly.
Okay, that was my next question. I was going to ask the two attorneys, as far as in my mind, as you know, a layperson, I read it. That's not exactly what I read. So explain that to us here today. You guys.
Jim, you want to take this one first?
Absolutely. This is relatively simple. It happens all the time. You've got a lower court and a higher court, in this case, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, takes a look at this and says, you know what, we're going to keep the status quo in place, and we're going to permit, again, this to go ahead while we're determining whether or not the lower court decision is right, whether or not we do have a rebellion. This is nowhere resolved. The president is misleading you once again.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. Donald Trump's pants are on fire. My hair is on fire. But you know who's always calm, cool, and collected? My senior producer, Jamie Martinson, and my great guest host, Jim Santel. My big thanks to both of you for an informal, different round of Ask Maggie and Jim this Friday afternoon. When we come back, we're going to talk about some good things, and I'll have a few thoughts on Father's Day. Keep it locked. My name's Maggie Don. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. We have made it to the end of Friday. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. And to help kick it off just right, we've got this week's installment of What's Good Local and Overlooked in Wisconsin. Terry Barr is still on vacation, well-deserved, I might add. So I'm joined by my colleague, Gray Gunderson. Welcome back to the show, Gray. Always fun to hang out with you. We've got some news that is so appropriate for the summer boating season here in Wisconsin. Tell us more.
So, Maggie, thank you so much for having me on the show again today. Pleasure to be back, as always. I got one here today that it just was too appropriate not to discuss. It's a unique blend. I'd call this a cocktail made exclusively of multiple rare ingredients that don't really always blend. Simply because what we're talking about are wake boaters. There's a town in Burnett County, the town of Scott. And if you haven't heard of Scott, Wisconsin, you're in the majority. Scott is a town of about 600 people at last census. And Scott is unique in that it has parts of a rather high number of bodies of water. I think there was something like 27 named bodies of water border in some, to some degree, on the town of Scott. And so their town ordinances regarding those bodies of water affect more people than average, especially for a town of its size. Now, the word is wake boats. Again, it's going to be one of those things some people know, some people don't, but think of a normal ski boat, more than a fishing boat, but with some special equipment involved, in the form of water tanks, big old 100-gallon water tanks, or sometimes larger, near the back of the boat. And the whole idea is that you can activate some pumps that fill these ballast tanks, make the boat heavier, and then you can just plow super slowly through the water, pushing massive amounts of water out the sides. And actually, the sneaky part is that you're pushing down really hard, too. Mm-hmm. And we'll return to that later. But you're pushing a lot of water out, way more than normal, and so you can get somebody on a wakeboard, which normally you're towed behind a rope, but the power of these wakes allows people to just surf them. You might hear people talk about wake surfing, and actually oftentimes they're still talking about the traditional high-speed move, but what we're talking about here are slow-moving, high-power, very high-dollar boats too, Maggie. These things are not cheap, and that's another one of the unique ingredients to this cocktail. We're talking about out-of-state influence. Why? Because those wake boats are being prohibited slowly in a general march across the state. Since 2009, more than 50 municipalities, communities in the state of Wisconsin have passed some ordinance limiting, restricting regarding those wake boats. And in the town of Scott specifically, there are a couple of interests from Florida, from Texas, that include a couple of named individuals, but also include a land trust located in Florida, all suing the town of Scott regarding the infringement of their rights to use these $100,000 wake boats to engage in recreational activity on the lakes.
Can I reframe this, Gray, just a little bit? Because
oh, I know, I'm going deep. Hit me. I need it. I need
myself. So a bunch of rich out-of-state jerks are suing so that they get to enjoy their money buying toys. And their toys, again, the boat where the draft of the boat is super low, basically blows out all kinds of underwater habitat. It's terrible yes. for shorelines. It leads to erosion. It's bad. And they're like, heck no, we don't want small town of Scott in Wisconsin telling us how we can use our mega dollar toys. Is this about right?
I see that problem. You heard what I meant instead of what I said. No. Nail on the head. So that's exactly it. We've got people out of town suing to protect a right that is questionable at best, of course. And that's the whole question. I can't pretend I know that the law has a clear dictation. Sorry, I have a cat. I know that for sure. Get out of here, bud.
And Gray, while you're articulating that question, I happen to look at the Constitution. Maggie, I'm having problems finding the constitutional right to a wake boat. I may be just missing it somewhere. I'm looking at the index. Gray, I think you're right on that. It appears that James Madison did not contemplate that when creating the United States of America.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness via your $100,000 rich guy from out of state wake boat. Boo. Go town of Scott. I'm on town of Scott team on this one for sure. Thanks so much. That is great. Gunderson, my colleague at Civic Media, I really appreciate you. We're going to have Gray back next week for a little bit of what's going on in your neck of the woods, because Terry Barr will be back as well, returning from vacation. So she'll join us next Friday for What's Good, Local, and Overlooked. I appreciate you, my friend. I appreciate you, Jim Santel. And of course, I have to take a minute to tell my dad how much I appreciate him. I think we are in a moment when men are being encouraged to behave badly, really badly. and really badly towards women. And as we roll into Father's Day, I want to take the opportunity to tell my dad and every dad, especially girl dads out there, how important you are to your kids, and dad, how important you were to me. I grew up in a household where my father respected me, even as a young child. And because he respected me and showed love and showed genuine emotion and showed that he cared, I knew that that was what true masculinity is, what it truly means to be a man. And I think all dads have such an opportunity to gift their children with that kind of self-respect and love and self-love, but more deeply and more fundamentally what's needed in this country is respect for others and love for others. That somehow kindness isn't cool. My dad is one of the coolest men I have ever met, set the bar high for any partner in my life. And he's cool because he is one of the kindest men I have ever had the pleasure of knowing. So dad, thank you for showing me what we all deserve in the best of men. And Gray and Jim, you both have always demonstrated incredible respect and kindness. So for all of the men out there, I'm sure you each serve in a father figure type capacity to someone. Thank you. Stand up. Be kind. Show respect, because that's what we all need now. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together for what it truly means to be a man. Take care, y'all. Be safe.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.